This morning, as we get ourselves ready to look at God's Word, we will. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And as we look at the scripture this morning, guys, we're going to be looking at a topic that a lot of times in Methodist churches is not brought up at all. It is a topic that in many Methodist churches is absolutely avoided. And part of the reason, honestly, is I think that a lot of people who are trained as Methodist pastors don't understand the fullness of it and are themselves unsure of what it all means. But that does not mean that we should avoid. And so I want to dive right in and talk about spiritual gifts with you this morning. Last Sunday, we talked about spiritual gifts from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this morning, we're going to look at the very first few verses of a wonderful passage on spiritual gifts from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, all of chapter 14 deals with spiritual gifts, as does chapter 12 and 13. And that's maybe odd for some of you because I know that as I have considered 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I have thought maybe that it was something just kind of set off by itself and inserted even later. I've often thought as I was a younger person that chapter 13 was kind of its own separate thing kind of put there. But as we look closely at Scripture, we see that it is not at all that, that it is a part of Paul's discourse on spiritual gifts. And so as we look at that, we'll be talking about that a little bit this morning. We'll be seeing how that love chapter, chapter 13, really fits in with the spiritual gifts that Paul tells us about. Now, this morning in the Methodist tradition, like I said, we don't often emphasize spiritual gifts. And that's because we spend much more time talking about things that are more prominent in the Methodist tradition, such as right living, free will, relationship with God, the importance of Scripture as the foundation of all of our beliefs, and those things that are inherently Methodist. But make no mistake about it, folks, spiritual gifts are a part of who we are as God's children. They are the things that God bestows on us so that we can have a more complete experience of Him in our lives and a more complete experience of life as we live it. And so spiritual gifts are not something that should be shunned, but that we should be open to and we should look towards. Now, as we have said earlier, this coming Saturday is going to be our church retreat. And at our church retreat, we're going to be speaking about spiritual gifts. And that's going to be, you know, a part of what we're looking at there. But this last Sunday and this Sunday are getting ourselves ready for that experience on Saturday. And I think it's important for us to look at spiritual gifts and to be ready when God comes to us with those spiritual gifts. Have an understanding of what they are and maybe how they can be manifest. Now, we're not going to get in deep today because just the two spiritual gifts that we're going to be speaking of and referring maybe to another couple of them are so deep that it would take hours to explore them. I'm not planning to do that and not trying to do that today. I just want to introduce you to a couple of these things that we're going to be talking about. I would dare say in modern Methodist churches, it's a rare thing to have a sermon on spiritual gifts. But we will proceed with that today. You see, God gives us spiritual gifts as our encouragement for our growth and for our edification, as well as for our protection. And they are things that we need to grab hold of and really understand as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. Now, these spiritual gifts also enhance our relationship with the Lord. It becomes more real, and our relationship with the Lord is empowered through these spiritual gifts often in our lives. But it also is a benefit to the church in general. Spiritual gifts are a benefit to the church and to the people who are around us, not just to the individual who happens to express some particular spiritual gift. Another thing about spiritual gifts is I fully believe that every single person who is a believer in Jesus Christ has spiritual gifts that are bestowed on them. Multiple spiritual gifts that are bestowed on them and enhanced by their belief in God. And so don't sit here and think, well, Brian, I don't know what you're talking about. This is not for me. This is not something that I have ever paid attention to. It's important to at least know about it, because you never know when the Lord is going to decide that you are the one that he wants to use in a particular situation in a particular way, and he is willing to do that, and he will do that. Now, today we're going to look at two specific gifts of the Spirit, and the two we'll be looking at are speaking in tongues and the gift of prophecy. Paul addresses them specifically in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 5, and that's all we'll have time to look at today, just those five little verses. So, let's look at that together. Pursue love and strive for the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people, but to God. For nobody understands them, since they are speaking mysteries in spirit. On the other hand, those who prophesy speak to other people for their building up and encouragement and consolation. Those who speak in a tongue build up themselves, but those who prophesy build up the church. Now, I would like all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. One who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongue. Now, Paul goes on later to say that he is this speaking in tongues, when it's done properly and correctly, and when it's full of the Holy Spirit, is very much an edifying thing. But he warns us that those things that are not used properly, that are not done properly, and they have no beneficial effect at all. He likens it to other things that just are not working well for us and not growing well, doing well for us. Now, I haven't spent a lot of time talking about these things since I've been here, because I have been more focused on what's called apologetics, the explanation and the proclamation of the Word of God and how it fits real into our lives. And this is no different than that. This is an apologetic study to me about spiritual gifts. And so we're going to be speaking this morning about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, including, of course, tongues and prophecy. Now, before we get into the specifics of them, though, the very first thing that Paul says in verse 1 is, pursue love. Now, in some other versions than what we use here in the sanctuary, it puts it a little differently than that, but that is the core of it, and this is a pretty direct translation of it. He says, pursue love. Now, remember, this is on the heels of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when Paul has just explained to us what real love is. And, of course, what he's talking about there in 1 Corinthians 13 is agape love, or the love of God, for us and in us and through us. And so he says here, as he's beginning back now off of this subject of love, he starts in 12 with spiritual gifts. 13 is about love, which is the smack heart, the middle of spiritual gifts. And then 14, he goes back to focus on spiritual gifts with this idea of love being the foundation of all of these spiritual gifts. The love of God being the foundation of all of these spiritual gifts. So the first thing he says is pursue love. The NIV says follow the way of love. And it's important for us to keep that in mind as we're thinking about and talking about spiritual gifts. Now, God understands the heart of man. He knows that as we start to deal with supernatural gifts that are not of us, but of the Spirit, that some may get the wrong idea. And I think they get them sometimes because they project some kind of a greater spirituality than others. And it causes them maybe to think that they are a stronger or better Christian than some others. That's very dangerous. It's dangerous for the church and it's dangerous for the believer. Because just as soon as you feel like you're any bit better than somebody else, it's time for you to be knocked down. Because that is not God's way, and that's not what God has designed us to be or to know. And that's why it is so important that we look at these spiritual gifts through the lens of love. Because in that, we have love for each other. Not building up of ourselves, but a love for each other. So that any gift that I have is a gift that should be manifest for the good of others. That is the real goal of a believer, to help others with anything that I have, including spiritual gifts, to be of service. First Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. But if I give all the possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing." Do you see here that this rendition or this scripture about love ties directly to spiritual gifts? Follow the way of love. You see, these gifts are given to you by God to hold in trust, to be used for His kingdom. Not for our own enjoyment, not for our own selfishness, not for our own building ourselves up to be something more than we are. Have you ever lent something to someone and you wondered even when you were lending it if it was going to come back in the same shape that you lent it in, right? You wonder about that. Maybe the first time you gave your car keys to a teenager, you wonder, is the car going to make it back, right? Sometimes. One of mine didn't one night. Paul is anchored, though, these very important words in 14. He's speaking here about what we call the speaking gifts. And he's only talking about two of those speaking gifts. And there are others, but he's emphasizing these two. Now, the same love that Jesus showed us when he went to the cross is that agape love. That love that gives self completely and fully for others. And that's the kind of love and way that these spiritual gifts should be exercised and manifest in your life. I want you to look back in your mind as we look at the gifts of speaking in tongues. I want you to have that idea in your mind as we look at this speaking in tongues and prophecy here this morning. Now, he talks about speaking in tongues first. It's a phenomenon known as speaking in tongues was widely used in the first century by believers. It was almost a given that believers in the early church spoke in tongues. And it was generally accepted that that was the time of personal communication with God through the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have much evidence after the first century that it was as widespread as it was in the first century. And by 312 AD, the Roman authorities had kind of associated speaking in tongues with idolatry, so that it was absolutely frowned upon, and in the Roman Catholic Church it was frowned upon. Now look, this was the case even through the Reformation. Notice that the documents of the Reformation don't speak anything about the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, because they were absolutely squelched. And then it was really until about 1900 that spiritual gifts became to be something that we saw more regularly, and that started with the gift of tongues. And it manifests itself greatly through certain preachers and ended in one of those cases in what we know as the Azusa Revival in Los Angeles, where thousands and thousands of people came to believe in Jesus Christ through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and a movement there that lasted years, lasted absolute years there on Azusa Street. Now, we see the same thing happening since then, and we've seen pockets of revival here and there and everywhere. Most recently, at Asbury Theological Seminary, there they had a revival that lasted for months until finally the faculty said, we need to move this off of campus because this is becoming so big it's taking over the school and we can't continue to function. And when that happened, the movement kind of died. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit went away where it was not welcomed. And that's the key thing about these gifts of the Holy Spirit. They will manifest themselves readily where they are welcomed. And we need to know that. And so we need to be a people who are welcoming to the Holy Spirit in His fullness. Welcoming of the Holy Spirit to not only indwell us and advise us, but to take charge and bring us the gifts that God has for us, including these supernatural abilities that we have access to or may have access to. Now, there are denominations that have come off of the Methodist movement, such as the Holiness Church, that also broke off about 1900, that separated from the Methodist Church because they felt that the Methodist preaching was losing its fire. It was losing its connection with the Holy Spirit. And so they separated off from the Methodist movement at the time. But these spiritual gifts have always been a part of the teaching of the Methodist Church, just not an emphasized part. So it's not been prominent. Now, tongues is defined as an ecstatic utterance that is done while under periods of spiritual intensity that may or may not represent known human language. Okay? In the Bible, Paul defines it like this, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 at verse 2. For those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people, but to God. For nobody understands them since they're speaking mysteries in the Spirit. And that leads me to what I was trying to tell you earlier and I couldn't remember it. He said if a trumpet just plays random notes, how are the people going to know that they're sounding the alarm for the army to advance? If it's just random notes and nobody can understand it, it doesn't make any sense and it has no meaning. And he's applying that as an example to speaking in tongues where there is no interpretation of the tongue. And therefore, Paul says this is a language between you, a personal language between you and God. And that is where we're supposed to find that speaking in tongue. It's a personal gift for the believer. And it also can be a witness, though, to the unbeliever in the right circumstances. But when it is absolutely out of place, or when it has no edification to it, no teaching to it, then it is not profitable. And if it is not profitable, let me tell you, I've been honest and open about this before, I question if it is from the Lord. You see, spiritual gifts can come from three sources. There's three sources for them. And this is getting in deeper than I expected to do this morning. But we're not going to explore them. We'll just tell you what they are. The first source is of God. A spiritual gift can come from God. A spiritual gift can come from a person. They will it for themselves. And they act as though they have something more than they have. And so that's from a person. And then the other one is from Satan himself. And we have to determine if any spiritual gift, where it is coming from. And we have to act accordingly. Because the second and third of those, you cannot act on. Only the first one. And that means that you have to have a relationship with God to be able to know when He is speaking something to you and hear that and understand that so that you will know that this spiritual utterance or this spiritual gift is being exercised on His behalf. And so why is this gift important to us today? And is it something that we should desire? Well, Paul says that we should desire. He desires for everybody to have the ability to speak in tongues. Let me ask you, have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what the right thing to say is? My girls tell me that there is awkward silence sometimes. They don't know what to do with the silence. And yes, it can be awkward. You see, men are really bad at this. Sometimes we say the wrong thing or the thing at the wrong time, and it makes you women upset with us, even though we're just trying to help in most cases. I knew the women would respond to that. But what about prayer? Have you ever just not known how or what to pray? Have you ever just bowed before the Lord and there were no words? Maybe it was a very emotional thing. Maybe it was something that you couldn't express because you didn't understand it fully. Maybe it was something that's happened to you that's absolutely captured your attention and you don't even know what to ask for. Oh my, how many times have I been there? And I just sit silently before the Lord. Have you ever been so overwhelmed or so depressed in a situation or in such a pit of despair that you can't even begin to form the words to pray to the Almighty God, to describe to Him how you feel? Romans chapter 8 at verse 26 and 27 describes it this way. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. You see, the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, giving us the supernatural gifts of God, including the gift of tongues, help us in our weakness. It also builds us up. Jude 20 says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit." Folks, praying in the Holy Spirit is synonymous with praying or speaking in tongues. And it is most of the time a communication between you and God. One that is too deep for words that we can express. It is a giving over to God of all that we have that we cannot control or understand or express properly. And asking God to relieve us of that. Or give us instruction of how to handle or deal with or navigate this circumstance. It is supernatural communication. There is an intimacy with God that comes from this event in your life, this kind of a connection with Him. And let me confess to you that I have felt, I have known speaking in tongues before, but it is woefully too rare in my life. Woefully too rare. And I can only pin that on my depth of relationship with the Lord, that it should be deeper and more real. You see, this same power is available to every person who calls on the name of the Lord. Every believer has access to the spiritual gifts, and one of the most basic of those spiritual gifts is speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit. There is also an interpretation of tongues. And when tongues are given in a public setting, it is my full belief and understanding that there should also be someone there to interpret that tongue as it's uttered. Because it is of no use to the public good unless it is understood. It's just like that trumpet playing random notes. It's not going to call anybody to go and fight a battle. It has to play specifically at the right time, the right tone, to let people know what's going on. And the same is true with our utterances. If they are not spoken in the common language, they are of no value. The second spoken gift that Paul addresses here is the gift of prophecy. And while the gift of tongues is for the believer, the gift of prophecy is for the church, not necessarily for individuals. And we get those things really confused. Now, there's two forms of prophecy. First, the first form of prophecy is the foretelling prophecy. And that's God showing us what's going to happen in the future through something or someone in the church. This type of prophecy can still happen today, but I absolutely believe it is rare because we have God's word. God completely gives us his full word in the Bible. And so we don't have a need as much for prophecy anymore. Because in the Bible, God consistently tells us that he wants us to live by faith, and that precludes us getting a lot of detail about what's about to happen. And so this gift of prophecy in the foretelling is rare, I think. The second type of prophecy is foretelling prophecy. And this is the type of prophecy is speaking to something that is happening in the present in God's church and in his believers' lives that he wants us to know about, or he wants us to correct something that's going on in our lives. Now, this is very closely tied with the spiritual gift of knowledge, which is a separate gift. The difference between the two is that knowledge is a supernatural understanding of a situation or events or scripture or something like that. And it's used in teaching and leading, while prophecy is meant to be shared with other believers in the church. Here's an example in scripture. In Acts chapter 21, Paul arrives in Caesarea, and he's staying with Philip the evangelist. And then we pick it up, Acts 21, verses 10 and 11. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." Now that is an example of forthcoming prophecy. God speaking directly to a situation that is already likely in motion, and Paul's journey to Jerusalem was already in motion. He was on his very final leg of that journey, and there in Jerusalem he was bound, he was arrested, and he spent years in jail. God spoke directly to the situation for the benefit of all of those who were around. For the benefit of the church, because at that time, Paul was the de facto leader of the church for most of the known world, while Peter may have been the leader of the church in Jerusalem and in certain parts of the world, Paul was seen as the Christian person in most of the rest of the world. And for him to be arrested and effectively taken off the scene was a big deal. And so God gave this prophecy to lighten that blow, to explain that this thing is going to happen and God is in it. It's not happening by accident or outside of God's will even. And he done it so that the people would know that this thing is real. And so that we too would know all these years later that God was in it. You see, God spoke directly to that situation. Now, some questions that people have about the gifts of the Spirit are particularly, is speaking in tongues required to be saved? Absolutely not. Speaking in tongues or any other spiritual gift is separate from your salvation. If none of these things ever come on you, then it has nothing to do with your salvation. And if they do, it does not guarantee your salvation either. You see, God can use whom He wants, since He is the creator of all. He can use whom He wants, where He wants, when He wants. We as believers have access, though, to things that are for our benefit that others don't have. There are a few Pentecostal denominations that teach that you have to have the gift of speaking in tongues in order to have salvation. But there is nowhere in God's Word that is spoken. Nowhere. And so I do not believe it at all. The second question is, do we have to speak in tongues? And I already answered that in the question of the first one. No, it's not something that everybody will do. And it's not something, and even Paul said, I wish that everybody could do this. Everybody had this gift. But it is not manifest on everybody. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of us never get mature enough in our relationship with the Lord to be able to handle this thing of spiritual gifts. Now, that's just point blank the reality of it as I see it. Now, Paul said that he wishes that everyone had the gift. And I think that's because he knows how powerful that gift of speaking in tongues particularly. And that's like the first one. But it's just that gift alone, how powerful it is in the life of a person who has a relationship with the Lord, of that kind of deep communication with the Lord. You see, God wants us to operate spiritually at peak efficiency. And so He gives us these gifts. I too encourage you to be open to it. Just as the Holy Spirit works in your life in other ways, tongues may be a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life at any time. And it may come on you completely by surprise so that you don't see anything coming and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. That's the way I've experienced it. Not because I called on it or willed it, but because suddenly it was there. It's kind of like if I bought you a lawnmower. And I gave you that lawnmower. I would probably advise you, you'd be better off if you use the premium ethanol-free gasoline in this lawnmower. Now, you can buy whatever lawnmower, whatever kind of gasoline you want, and regular gasoline will make that lawnmower work just fine on the surface. It'll work better with the premium gasoline, but it seems to work good with the regular gasoline. That's the same way it is with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can run on regular Holy Spirit, or you can be open to what the Holy Spirit brings into your life. And that is much, much better. You have a better relationship with God running through you, encouraging you, empowering you, leading you. And it's a lot more fulfilling life than just running on regular. Now, another question is, doesn't all of this, the supernatural gifts, and especially speaking in tongues, turn off unbelievers? Those who don't understand at all and think the church is a little bit quirky to start with. Well, that might very well be the case. But the truth is, there's going to be unbelievers no matter what the church does. And so we need not worry at all about what the other people are going to think of the church or us as believers. We need to be worrying about where God leads us and be willing to submit to Him wherever that leadership takes us and wherever He puts us for the building up of His kingdom and our relationship with Him. Amen? So we need to not worry about what this is going to do, the effect that non-believers would have. Jesus used the manifestation of what we see as spiritual gifts when He was talking with the woman at the well. He explained to her that He supernaturally knew who she was, and He supernaturally explained to her who He was, and she left that place and brought the whole village to come and see this great person who is right here. That was a manifestation of the gifts of God to be able to explain those things in a very concise and true way. Now, those are a couple of questions that have come up to me as I've talked about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are important to us, and in our relationship with God, they are likely going to be manifest at some point. Maybe many of you have already experienced them and you didn't know what they were. It may have brought fear into your life. And I will tell you, when I first experienced them, I too was very fearful of letting them be expressed. What we have to understand is that God will work with us. And He works with us to bring us things that are beyond our capability, because that's God. If it were just our own capability, we wouldn't need God. And it wouldn't be God. But things that are beyond our capability, that are building up. Paul says in the scripture, he says, I think it's verse 4 up there, if we could pull that back up there. I didn't put that in my notes, but he says that the purpose of these gifts is for the building up, build up themselves. Those who prophesy build up the church. The purpose of all spiritual gifts is for the building up of God's people and God's church. And so when we are open to these things, we're open to being a builder for God. And I don't want you to miss that, church, because it is just a wonderful part of our Christian experience. Now, Saturday, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts in maybe a little different way. We're going to do a spiritual gifts assessment on Saturday, and you'll have an opportunity to see where naturally within you certain gifts are stronger than other gifts are. But something that's vitally important that you know, any particular spiritual gift, and look, I think we could sit down and in 10 or 15 minutes around a table name 100 spiritual gifts easily. There are an untold number of spiritual gifts. We're going to be talking about 25 of them on Saturday, not in depth at all, but just information about them. And this is something that just because you have a propensity or a natural ability in one of these gifted areas does not mean that that's the only gift that you're going to have, because it is the Holy Spirit that works these things in you. You can have any spiritual gift at any time if God sees that it is for the building up of His kingdom and He wants to use you in that place for that purpose. Any believer can have any gift. I want you to know that. It can be manifest on you. Now, I don't want us to become a church that every time we gather, somebody has to feel like they're speaking in some strange language or some strange utterance, because I don't see that as real. And we're called to worship God in reality. So I want us to continue to be a church that simply seeks to serve God, to be His, but to also be real, to realize that we are open to whatever the Holy Spirit would bring into our lives. And that includes these supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm looking forward to exploring this more with you on Saturday. Amen and amen.